Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Rig count moves lower after 4 weeks of gains. Drilling activity broke a four-week winning streak, posting a modest decline from the previous week. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 dropped three rigs to 623 for the week, still 153 rigs below the 776 tallied last December. The number of rigs drilling for crude fell two rigs to 501, 119 rigs below the 620 reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was unchanged at 119, 35 less than the 154 rigs drilling for natural gas a year ago. Baker Hughes earlier reported Texas had lost 55 rigs for the week, but updated figures indicate the state actually gained two rigs to have 308 rigs at work statewide. That's 62 fewer rigs than the 370 reported last year. After earlier reporting New Mexico had dropped eight rigs, the company said the state fell four rigs to 102. Louisiana, three, and West Virginia, one, joined Texas as producing states seeing increases, while Pennsylvania, one, was the only other producing state to see a decline. After earlier reporting the Permian Basin had lost 35 rigs, Baker Hughes updated figures to indicate the Permian lost one rig, falling 313 rigs, 37 fewer than the 350 rigs active in the region last year. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as the service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 673 during the week ended December 13th. Down by five rigs from the previous week's high point, the count is down by 17 rigs, or 2%, in the last month, and down by 187 rigs, or 22%, year over year. Among major basins, the Permian and Gulf Coast lost the most rigs over the last week, dropping by 7 and 3, respectively, for totals of 292 and 75. The Appalachian and Williston basins lost one rig each to hit 41 and 35. The Anadarko and DJ basins each added a rig for totals of 52 and 15. Martin County passes Midland County for top oil producer. Martin County has passed Midland County as the top oil-producing county in the state, according to the Railroad Commission of Texas. The RRC's preliminary production report for September showed 16.971 million barrels of oil was produced in Martin County, compared to 16.338 million inside Midland County. The two counties combined for 33.31 million barrels, or 29.77% of the total production across the state, 111.887 million barrels, according to the RRC. Trailing Martin and Midland counties were a pair of neighbors, Upton County in third with 7.68 million, and Howard County in fourth with 7.06 million. The four counties in the heart of the Permian Basin combined for 48.061 million barrels, or 42.95% of the state's production in September. Nine of the top 10 producing counties in September again came from the Permian Basin, with Loving, Reeves, Glasscock, Andrews, and Reagan counties taking spots 6 through 10. The nine combined for 70.45 million barrels, or 62.99% of the oil produced in the state. The RRC also reported an increase in the preliminary reported total of oil produced in September compared to September 2022, 104.41 million barrels. The updated total last year was 131.66 million. The RRC's preliminary report for natural gas production showed Reeves County again was first, with 83.16 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced in September. Webb County was second with 81.78 billion, and Midland County was third with 65.98 billion. The RRC reported seven Permian Basin counties in the top 10 statewide. Statewide, the RRC showed preliminary production of 890.88 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced during the month. In September 2022, the preliminary production of gas was 742.90 billion cubic feet. The updated total was 956.90 billion cubic feet. September 2023 Texas Top 10 Crude Oil Producing Counties, ranked by preliminary production. County barrels. Martin, 16,971,500. Midland, 16,338,862. Upton, 7,689,754. Howard, 7,061,243. Carnes, 6,164,664. Loving, 5,973,352. Reeves, 4,910,920. Glasscock, 4,336,308. Andrews, 3,787,146. Reagan, 3,381,560. September 2023, Texas Top 10 Total Gas, Gas Well, Gas, and Casing Head, Producing Counties Ranked by Preliminary Production, County Total Gas, MCF. Reeves, 83,168,922. Webb, 81,780,733. Midland, 65,981,943. Panola, 46,562,659. Martin, 42,760,737. Loving, 38,566,358. Culberson, 37,065,455. Upton, 31,234,786. Harrison, 30,657,191. Reagan, 25,374,142. September 2023, Texas Top 10 Total Condensate Producing Counties Ranked by Preliminary Production, County Condensate, BBLS. Reeves, 6,534,733. Loving, 4,394,983. Culberson, 3,195,078. DeWitt, 3,195,078. Webb, 1,208,034. Carnes, 1,171,799. Dimmitt, 632,578. Live Oak, 548,002. Ward, 488,262. McMullen, 329,369. Donors choose. Texas Leadership teacher seeking laptops. Mrs. Orozco, a teacher at Texas Leadership Charter School, is seeking touchscreen Chromebooks for her students on DonorsChoose.com. The project expires January 25th, and there is a $2,346 needed to fully fund it by the expiration date. Quote, I am hoping that having Chromebooks in the classroom will increase participation, improve classmate collaboration, and prepare students for the future. Technology is continuously evolving, and it is imperative to keep students up to speed, end quote, Orozco posted. Life Tributes. Don Lutze, 7/21/1941 to 12/12/2023. Don Lutze, 82, of Midland, passed away on December 12, 2023. There is no service planned at this time. Don was born July 21, 1941, to Vonda and Melbourne Riley in Cleveland, Ohio. She is preceded in death by son Ronald Lutze, Jr., parents Vonda and Melbourne Riley, sister Rosalie Riley, brother Bud Riley, and many beloved dogs and birds. Don is survived by husband Ron Lutze, sons Dan and Tim, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, brother Chuck Riley, sister-in-law Pamela Desport and Jackie Rundle, and dogs Sparky and Pepper. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Michael Tater Schneider, 12/11/1968 to 12/13/2023. Michael Tater Schneider, born December 11, 1968, passed December 13, 2023, 55 years and 2 days. He was preceded in death by his father, Michael Don Schneider, and his mother, Retha Satterfield Schneider, all four grandparents, and our precious Lauren. Michael is survived by his wife of 23 years, Holly Lynn Schneider, two brothers, Warren Schneider and wife, Sylvia, of Sand Springs, Texas, Willie Schneider and wife, Juanita, of Midkiff, Texas, and all our babies from our, quote, add water and stir, end quote, family. Matthew Holcomb of Midland, Aaron Howell of May, Brooklyn Furr and Bobby Furr Jr. of Midland, Lainey Milam and Layla of Richardson. A memorial service will be held on Tuesday, December 19th at Solid Rock Fellowship out west at 4:30 p.m. with Brother Eddie Elliott officiating. Minalia Minnie Davis. Minalia Minnie Davis, 80, passed away Wednesday, December 13th, 2023. Family will have a private service in Shreveport, Louisiana. Memorial service will be scheduled in Midland at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Anthony Tony Aguilaga Mora. Anthony Tony Aguilaga Mora, 51, of Midland, passed away Thursday, November 30th, 2023. He was born in Nigeria on September 10th, 1972. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday, December 22nd, 2023, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Funeral services will be held Saturday, December 23rd, 2023, at 11 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, followed by interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Catalina Ramos Lara. Catalina Ramos Lara, 90, of Midland, passed away Monday, December 11th, 2023. The family will receive friends for visitation on Sunday, December 17th, 2023, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. The rosary will begin at 6 p.m. A Mass of Christian Burial will be celebrated Monday, December 18th, 2023, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, followed by interment at Fairview Cemetery. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Mary Lou Crimmins. Mary Lou Crimmins, 90, of Midland, passed away December 13th, 2023. The family will receive guests from 5 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m., Monday, December 18th, 2023. At Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, December 19th, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will take place at Fort Sill National Cemetery in Lawton, Oklahoma, at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
OPD investigating HEB theft. The Odessa Police Department is investigating a theft that occurred November 27th at the HEB location at 2501 West University. According to a news release, investigation revealed that an unknown male stole approximately $115 worth of merchandise. Anyone who recognizes the suspect shown in the surveillance footage is encouraged to contact Detective A. Reyes at 432-335-5706 or Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 23-00-14099. Police. Package thief threatens victims with gun. An Odessa woman was arrested Friday night after her neighbors accused her of stealing a package and chasing them with a gun. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a call about a person with a gun from the High Plains Apartments on Andrews Highway around 6 p.m. When officers arrived, three people said they had surveillance footage of Tamariana Zabriella Clayton, stealing an Amazon package worth $36 from their front door. They said she went home and returned with a 9mm handgun, the report stated. Clayton ran at all three subjects and placed all three subjects in fear for their lives as they retreated back into their residence, the report stated. According to the report, when an officer watched the footage and knocked on Clayton's door, she ran inside and began to bang on the neighbor's door. The officer reported Clayton pushed him away when he tried to handcuff, but he was able to take her into custody. Clayton was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of three counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, resisting arrest, and misdemeanor theft. She remains in custody Monday night on surety bonds totaling $76,500.
Obituaries. Janet Irene Moore passed away on Sunday, November the 26th. Services will be held at St. John's Episcopal Church, 401 Northwest County Road, Odessa, at 10 a.m. on January the 6th. Arrangements are under the direction and personal care of the professionals at Crestridge Funeral Home. Freddie Jean Wheeler, age 91, passed peacefully away on December the 14th. A memorial service was held Tuesday, December the 19th at 2 p.m. at the Bridge Church in Odessa. Brian Zachary Pierce, age 59, died Wednesday, December the 13th. Visitation will be at 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. Saturday, December the 23rd at Myers and Smith Chapel. Memorial service will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, December the 23rd at the Myers and Smith Chapel. Ignacio Chavera Jr., age 63, of Midland, died Wednesday, December the 13th. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, December the 20th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish, St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Kathy Annette Gibson, age 69, of Midland, died Friday, December the 15th. Celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. December the 21st at Christ Church Anglican, 5501 North Midkiff in Midland. Stephen Clark Johnson, age 73, of Odessa, died Thursday, December the 14th in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, December the 20th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Juan Omar Lujan, age 58, of Odessa, died Tuesday, December the 12th. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. December the 20th at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. This day in history. On December the 20th, 1803, the Louisiana Purchase was completed as ownership of the territory was formally transferred from France to the United States. On this date in 1860, South Carolina became the first state to secede from the Union as all 169 delegates to a special convention in Charleston voted in favor of separation. In 1864, Confederate forces evacuated Savannah, Georgia, as Union Major General William T. Sherman nearly completed his march to the sea. In 1945, the Office of Price Administration announced the end of wartime tire rationing, effective January the 1st, 1946. In 1987, more than 4,300 people were killed when the Donna Paz, a Philippine passenger ship, collided with the tanker Victor off Mindoro Island. In 1989, the United States launched Operation Just Cause, sending troops into Panama to topple the government of General Manuel Noriega. In 1995, an American Airlines Boeing 757 en route to Cali, Colombia, slammed into a mountain, killing all but four of the 163 people aboard. In 1999, the Vermont Supreme Court ruled that gay couples were entitled to the same benefits and protections as wedded heterosexual couples. In 2001, the UN Security Council authorized a multinational force for Afghanistan. In 2002, Trent Lott resigned as Senate Republican leader 2 weeks after igniting a political firestorm with racially charged remarks. In 2005, a federal judge ruled that intelligent design could not be mentioned in biology classes in a Pennsylvania public school district, delivering a stinging attack on the Dover Area School Board. In 2016, President Barack Obama designated the bulk of U.S.-owned waters in the Arctic Ocean and certain areas in the Atlantic Ocean as indefinitely off-limits to future oil and gas leasing. In 2017, Cardinal Bernard Law, the disgraced former Archbishop of Boston, died in Rome at the age of 86. His failure to stop child molesters in the priesthood had triggered a crisis in American Catholicism. Spiked liver levels lead to Hep C diagnosis. Dear Dr. Roach, I am 90 and in reasonably good health. I recently had blood tests that showed a spike in my liver levels. An evaluation showed that I had hepatitis C. I have had a very hard time trying to get an appointment with an infectious disease specialist. The ER doctor said that I shouldn't be traumatized over the diagnosis. Dr. Roach responds, hepatitis C is an extremely common viral illness with nearly 60 million people worldwide and about 3 million Americans affected. Hepatitis C can be transmitted by blood or blood products, improperly sterilized medical equipment, sexually, and from mother to child. The virus can also be transmitted by household items that contain blood, such as razors and toothbrushes. It's possible that you have had this infection for many years. Until recently, hepatitis C was a chronic infection for which there wasn't good treatment, but there are now many good treatments that are usually 95% to 99% effective at completely eradicating hepatitis C. The best regimen depends, to some extent, on the genotype of the hepatitis C found by sophisticated blood testing. Both hepatologists and infectious disease specialists are experts in treating hepatitis C. So if you can't find an ID specialist, you can also consult with a hepatologist. In most people, a treatment of 8 to 12 weeks is effective at curing hepatitis C. Unlike the previous treatment regimes, these once-daily treatments are very well tolerated for most people, with less than 1% of people unable to complete the program.
This is the Dear Abby column. Woman doesn't like the vibe she senses from her husband. Dear Abby, my husband is desperate for women's attention, and I'm sure he'd cheat on me the instant he had the chance. We have been together for 12 years. When we met, he was 24 and I was 31. I realize now that while I have had 4 long-term relationships and a fair share of sexual partners, my husband has had little sexual experience outside of our relationship. Anytime he's around women, whether I am there or not, he makes it a point to strike up a conversation and gain their attention. It doesn't matter if they're young or old, attractive or not. He has fostered many friendships with women I don't know, like gas station attendants or his employer's office staff. He swears he has never cheated, and I have never found any solid proof other than pornography. I just can't shake this feeling that he needs or wants to experience other women, and I don't know what to do. Please help. Signed, More Experienced in South Dakota. Dear More Experienced, if you haven't talked with your husband about this, do it now. Your husband may not be a wannabe philanderer as much as a plain old-fashioned flirt. People of both sexes need validation, particularly if their self-esteem isn't the highest. You won't know what's really driving him unless you can discuss it. If necessary, a marriage and family therapist may be able to help the two of you communicate on a non-threatening level. Dear Abby, when I met my boyfriend, it felt perfect. I thought I had found my soulmate. When I met his family, we got along well and spent more and more time together. I was 28, he was 31. We lived an hour away from his parents, and even though we were there every weekend, and sometimes twice a week, his mom began complaining that she didn't get to see him enough. His sister, who is my age, grew increasingly jealous. I had just lost my younger brother and was grieving when she began lashing out at me regularly. She's extremely controlling of my boyfriend and me, demanding we do whatever she says and go wherever she wants us to go, including when we are allowed to leave. She has no respect for any polite or firm boundaries we set, swearing and becoming hysterical and hostile almost every time we interact. She has kicked me out of the family gathering, which led to my being completely unwelcome. She tries to gaslight everyone and uses a lot of manipulation tactics to convince others I'm the problem, not her. Now, her husband and her parents lash out at me, even at my boyfriend's expense. What is most depressing is that he sides with them because they're family, and it's his role, or he's the problem. This wore my boyfriend and me out, so I removed myself from the situation and moved to another state with my sister. Is there any chance we can have a peaceful future? Signed, In-Law Drama in Texas. Dear Drama, no, there is not. Unless you enjoy being abused, the family dynamic you described was extremely unhealthy. You did the right thing to extricate yourself. If a peaceful future is what you're looking for, keep looking. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.